Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a full show of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck, wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. To book your free marriage strategy session with Nicola, get the free marriage ebook or donate. If you are enjoying the show and want to help keep it flowing, visit www.nicolabeer.com.
Hi and welcome. So happy you're here. Going to be sharing today about how to overcome relationship doubts and save a marriage from divorce. Basically, how to deal with those times where you may have that itch. As I mentioned in the 7-Year Itch Is That True podcast, there are studies that show there's a 3-year itch, 4-year itch, 7-year itch, and 12-year itch. So that's what we're going to be exploring. If you're having an itch in your relationship right now, if your partner is, how to overcome it and get on track. So we often praise couples for being in a relationship for so long. And one of the main reasons for this is because we know that they are bound to have gone through some tough times together. These highs and lows can test your loyalty and commitment to one another. It can cause you to fall more in love or drift apart. We also need to understand that relationships tend to go through stages. The honeymoon phase. When people seek online couples counselling, I often ask them, what was their relationship like at the beginning? Typically, I will hear them describe how wonderful it was, falling in love, infatuation, being so wrapped up in the other person, where you'll do absolutely anything to make them smile. It's where a couple are super happy, doing many romantic gestures for one another, and it's also a very exciting phase of a relationship. Then it goes into the transition stage. Following on from the honeymoon phase, there is a transition stage, and this is where a couple start to let their perfect standards slip a little. Individuals start to get a little bit more comfortable with one another, and things like not dressing up all the time for their partner, or not messaging back straight away, or not helping out with the household chores, may become a little more common than it was in the honeymoon phase. Although the transition stage can be difficult following such a blissful honeymoon phase, it's a great way for couples to find out more about one another, including likes and dislikes, goals and expectations, as well as striking a healthy balance between their wants in the relationship and their personal goals outside of the relationship. Relationship doubts then can be a phase that many couples go through. As I mentioned, if you listen to my earlier podcast, there is evidence that suggests there's a 3-year itch, 4-year itch, 7, and 12. Fast forward to any length of time, however, after the transition stage, couples can go through difficulties because issues are brought to the surface. It's a point where couples begin to reevaluate their relationship, including what they're not happy with, what they wish they would be happening in their relationship, what could be better, and what desires they have that haven't been met. Maybe these desires were promised, or maybe those desires were kept in that individual's head. They haven't shared their expectations and desires, and they're just disappointed that their partner hasn't acted on things that haven't been asked for. So it can be both. And this is a really difficult part. It's where couples question the future of their relationship. They wonder if they'll be happier apart, or they fantasize about being with new people. And I say difficult because in my experience, this is where people spend a great deal of time in their head, analyzing everything again and again, listing the pros and cons until they get stuck. In the relationship work I do, I help a lot of people individually. Sometimes I help people individually because they are stuck like this. They're analyzing everything. They're really confused. They can't make the decision because they just are so blowing hot and cold. And that's often because there's resentments there that haven't been dealt with, or that they've tried to communicate, but they haven't communicated perhaps in the right way, and their partners become defensive, so they can't get anywhere and they get stuck. So a lot of the people come to me not to save a marriage, but to work out, can they save the marriage, and even do they want to? And then sometimes people come after their husband or wife has said they want to separate or they want a divorce. And then that kicks the person in action and they're like, right, Nicola, yes, let's do the steps. I want this. I don't want my children to go through a divorce. I don't want to be on my own. I love my wife. I love my husband. Please help me. So those are the two different reasons that I work with individuals. And then, of course, I work with countless couples as well. And it's when I see a person stuck, like I mentioned in the first place, it really is so lonely and tiring. It's exhausting for people. They're overanalyzing, they're constantly assessing their partner, that everything they do, they're thinking, see, they don't love me, or, oh, okay, yeah, maybe we can be good together. So they're constantly going through this cycle. Sadly, they don't actually, in my experience, couples or individuals that are in that place, do anything about it. They may wait for the feelings to change by themselves. They may wait for their partner to change and understand where they're coming from without communicating it in the right way. And so they stack up a lot of negative thoughts, feelings, and beliefs about their partner, beliefs about their relationship. I mean, it's only natural that we're going to start questioning things, that we're going to, as life throws us curveballs and amazing things happen and all of the what life happens, you know, there's always highs and lows. It's natural to bring into that, okay, well, I have an expectation that you're going to help me with this, or I have an expectation that you're going to celebrate this with me. When that doesn't happen, then people get into these cycle of doubts. And the more they think of the negative, the more they're going to see negative. And then the more you focus and see the negative, the more you're going to feel negative. And this is when people get stuck in those loops of negativity. So it's really important to clear that negative, break that negative cycle, basically. And sometimes people will waste time and energy writing a list of pros and cons. And that is also absolutely a complete waste of time. Writing a list of pros and cons to evaluate your relationship is trying to work out what you want with your mind when relationships are about experiences. They're about feelings. Feelings in your gut, feelings in your heart. So you can't possibly write down a list of pros and cons and get clarity. Especially as how can you weigh and measure what a feeling is? And this is why people, when they're having the relationship doubts, get stuck. And sometimes people worry, will I ever be able to trust them again? Well, to trust somebody is to make a decision. And to rebuild the trust is consistent actions. So worrying in your head if you can trust someone or not is, again, isn't going to be able to bring you that answer, because the mind can't decide that for you. Only experience and actions will help you do that, as well as the decision. The most common complaint that I hear when couples go through the early years of raising children, work demands, financial strain, health issues, and other losses is that they feel alone and taken for granted. So how do you take someone for granted? You expect that their love and commitment should be given to you, and you don't give much back. That's what happens when we feel taken for granted. And when we feel taken for granted, what do we tend to do in response? Hold back, give less. And then what happens in response to us holding back and giving less? The other person holds back and gives less. And this is where the relationship becomes starved of loving actions. Both do less and less. Both create their own happiness outside of the relationship. Both focus outside of the relationship. And then both begin to doubt, is this ever going to work? And you may wonder, how do some couples get closer and closer through difficult times, and some couples drift further and further apart? It's about empathy, compassion, focus, communication. If you put the relationship on the back burner, you're going to go backwards. Doesn't take a psychologist to work that out, for sure. So let's go through some of the things that you can do if you're having relationship doubts to help you become closer and more happier and fall back in love with each other if you feel that in love feeling has started to fade away. So the first thing you can do in order for you to have a healthy discussion with your partner is to document your thoughts and feelings. You need to first acknowledge exactly What are you feeling? What are your thoughts telling you about your partner, about the relationship? Start by asking yourself questions like, why am I feeling this way? What triggered it? How long have I been feeling like this? Is this a passing phase, or is this something that has been happening over a long period of time? A great way to do this is to take yourself out for a coffee or lunch date. Take yourself out on a date and get everything out onto paper. Writing things down can help you to organise your thoughts, and this is so important for when you sit down with your partner to discuss your relationship. So here's a plan. If you're up for doing this, here's a plan for you. First, list how your partner's behaviour, words or inactions, and actions influence your feelings. Then, number two, list what perhaps you are doing or not doing to make the situation worse. Then, make a list of the suggestions you believe will help to make the situation better. You feel better, the relationship better. And finally, write down things you admire, appreciate, and are grateful for in your life and the relationship. If you only document the negative, your mind will look for more negatives, and this will bring you and the relationship down. You can use this then to have a productive conversation, highlighting what you need, what you will change, what you are grateful for, and general suggestions to make both of you happier. The second thing that's important in this is to acknowledge that people often change. From the 7-year itch experience that I talked about, and the other studies that showed 3-year itch and 4-year itch and all these different things, and knowing probably from your own life experience, I don't need to tell you, you've probably gone through lots of changes. And it's difficult sometimes to accept that the person that we fell in love with has changed. And maybe they've changed multiple times. Maybe we don't like their changes. But once we accept that change is inevitable, to some degree, we can have more peace. And in this instance, when I mention change, I'm referring to things like a partner wishing to become vegan, or maybe someone who wanting to change their career to totally something different, or when someone wants to change their friendship groups, or when someone who used to like partying now prefers night in or going out and doing yoga, or someone who did little exercise and ate unhealthily now loses the weight and finds that they have to exercise every single day. And whilst these changes may affect our lives, we have to learn to grow together and support one another. As long as the person who isn't changing doesn't enforce their choices on their partner and the couple remain respectful to one another, these changes can now add new energy and interest into the relationship. I understand that there may be some changes that deeply impacted your relationship. And if it's something that may create a divide in opinion, then it can be a little more difficult. For example, if someone starts to smoke or drink excessively, that may impact the relationship, may make you less attracted to them. If someone wants to spend money like there's no tomorrow, and then the other one wants to save for the future, that's a big value shift and that can cause differences. If someone wants to be more involved with the family and the other person wants to go out and socialise more or put work first, then that can obviously be a big shift in the relationship. And when couples find themselves in this situation, it can be good sometimes to look for professional help, which is the next point, seeking professional. If you've been with someone and you're starting to have many relationship doubts that you can't quiet, if it's difficult to communicate with your partner and share what you need in a way where they're going to listen instead of shutting off, if you are trying to change a habit like being a workaholic or addicted to something else, it can be hard to change on your own. Getting professional support can be really helpful to making those changes. Speaking to a relationship specialist who is neutral in the discussion and is able to guide the conversation into a healthy place can be exactly what your relationship needs if you're both struggling to come to an agreement in your differences. Like I recently have couples where one person wants to be close to their family, the other person wants to be away from their family and live in another country, things like that. It's like those are massive differences, and there needs to be a discussion about them, whether to have another child, and then just general small things that can also cause these rifts. Having a relationship specialist to help you listen to one another, to be able to communicate, to be able to not go over the past and focus on solutions is critical. It's all about creating a plan of action to move forward to increase your happiness. If you're stuck in limbo, then it's also critical to get some help. If you spent days, weeks, or months pondering whether you should stay or leave the relationship, you're probably exhausted by your own thoughts. Overthinking and analysing can suck the life right out of you. And it's important to get the thoughts out of your head and do a relationship review and assessment. I do these all the time and help people understand what they need to be happy. What is making them unhappy? What are the solutions to the issue? Often I find that confusion is clouded by resentments and fears and guilt. Resentment, fear, and guilt. Sometimes people are carrying so much resentment and negativity towards their partner and the relationship that they can't see the good. Sometimes people feel so guilty about something they've done or the thought of leaving that they can't make a decision because they're carrying the guilt before it's even happened. And then sometimes people are fearful. They're fearful of trusting. They're fearful of opening their heart, the feeling of letting their partner back into them and getting hurt again. Or they're fearing leaving. They're fearing being on their own. They're fearing of the impact of what's going to happen to the children. They're fearing what other people might say. They're fearing, will they survive financially? They fear, will they ever meet anyone else again? And if your judgment is clouded by confusion, resentment, guilt, and fear, then you're never really going to make the right decision. And so that's what I often guide people through. Okay, is there resentments there? Is there negative thinking there? Is there guilt? Is there fears? Is this leading to the hot and cold cycles within the individual? So we do an assessment. Can you be happy in this relationship if you're given what you need? And are you willing to wait and take the action to assess and see for yourself if this could work? Another major reason people come to me and get help when their relationship is at a low point is because they no longer find their partner sexually or physically attractive, or they're fed up with the same old in the bedroom. There is no right way to approach sex issues. There's so many different things that couples can do, and it depends on the couple. It depends on their comfort level. Of course, it depends on what the issue is. But staying stuck and hoping that the sex life will just get better by itself is often a disaster. I tend to give multiple options for couples, and then they discuss them, and then they say, yeah, let's do this. Or if I'm working with individuals, of course, then we work out what they can try and what they can do if they're the only one trying to save it or change it. Another great thing you can do if your relationship is struggling and if you're considering leaving the relationship because it's lost its spark and you're considering leaving because of boredom or lack of compatibility, is to get in to do some joint activities together. Couples find that when they start doing some fun things together, new exciting things, everything in life, we need to grow. We need to add new energy into things. So adding a new activity in, a fun thing to do, can add new energy into a relationship. What things would you love to do and love to experience? And what things could you share that with your partner with? When you see each other dress up or have a laugh and completely get out of that household environment where maybe there's work stress or household stress and see each other in the light that you fell in love with. When you're away from the home and having fun, it can really make such a big difference to the relationship. I have couples list three things that they really want to do, and then they just start doing them. Each month they start doing a new one or a couple of new things until they both find something that they can do regularly together that's going to add a lot more excitement back into our lives. If we're always doing the same thing with our partner, We're going to find that activity boring. We're going to find them boring. And going out for dinner, if you're struggling in your relationship, often isn't a very good idea, because how is that going to add any spice? If you can't talk at home, it can be even more awkward trying to talk at a dinner. So doing things where there's activities and making sure it's just the two of you, rather than having the children there or friends and family there, find fun, exciting things that you can do, even if it's just once a month. I get that like every week it might be difficult, especially if you've got children, but once a month doing something new can be a great way to add some zest and vitality to the relationship. And surprisingly, a lot of people find that it actually improves their sex life, seeing each other in that fun, happy time outside of the house creates a better sex life. And then the last point is to do regular check-ins in your relationship. Now, my regular is once a month. Once a month, ideally, or every few months. You don't want to be over-talking the relationship. Sometimes people fall into the trap of sharing everything. They share all their doubts, all their concerns. They want to talk over the relationship again and again. And then on the flip side, there's other people that don't talk at all. They bottle everything in. They are analysing everything in their head. They're having this internal dialogue with themselves, sort of running a narrative of their relationship and what's not going right and what they feel. And both of them are not going to be very beneficial for the relationship longevity. So you want to get really clear, as we mentioned in point one, about what you want to talk about, what you need to do, what you would like them to do, fun, exciting, lovely ideas that you have, and then sit down. And then have a review. A month later, 3 months later, sit down and say, you know what, this is going really well. Thank you so much for this. And this is what I think we can improve on. And asking them, what do you think? You just want to leave it open, like open questions, let each other talk and share, and don't get defensive. Like, this is a great time. This is a time where you're going to be able to hear what you need to do, where you may be falling short, and what you've done well. It's a lovely time if it's done in the right way. So that's just a few tips. If you're struggling with this and you would like to learn more, then you can, as I've mentioned in the other podcast, I do now have two Facebook groups, and I would love to connect with you in there. One Facebook group is focusing on relationships. I do a weekly videos in there based on topics that you ask me for, and a monthly affair recovery workshop, live Q&A. And then I have a dancing group called Vanana. And this is where once a week we get together, we dance. And inside the group is 23 meditations that I've created. It's also 40 dance videos. And for those people that really love to dance and want to share it with the world, there's a dance teacher training program that's coming up, just to be able to share Vanana in your community, which I'm really, really excited about, because life is about balance. We need to be all the different versions of ourselves. So my one version of me is doing this relationship work where I'm level-headed and practical and give actions and support, and I learn everything I can about relationships, and I help couples day in, day out to save their marriage, and I help individuals as well to improve their lives, and I love doing that. And then I have this side of me that has always loved dancing, always loved going clubbing when I was in my teens, but I don't want to go to a nightclub now. I feel like I'm too old and I don't want to, you know, smell of cigarettes and alcohol. And of course, going out to a club is about 11 o'clock at night here, or 12 o'clock at night, and normally I'm in bed by 11. So I've created this group to dance and have fun, and I've, you know, spent a lot of time researching what helps people let go of stress and helps people let go of anxiety. And I found that breath work combined with free-flowing movement — there's no set moves in my dance classes. There's no, like, you have to move like this, you have to move like that. It's just upbeat, free movement with some breath work, and then lying down at the end with a meditation. It's really amazing. I love it anyway. And if you're open for it, please do join. So you can find the links along with this show I'll end by sharing the story of Mustafa and Sarah, as it's really encouraging how they came together after going through relationship doubts. Mustafa and Sarah had been together for just over 8 years and were beginning to feel like they were walking on different paths. Over the years, Sarah had worked her way up to a director position in an international company that required her to travel a lot and often at short notice. Mustafa was settled into a role that had set hours and limited to no chance for progression. Mustafa was satisfied with his job, as he believed having security and stability at work over taking risks in his career life. What wasn't an issue for Sarah at the beginning of their relationship soon began to irritate her. As she progressed through her company, she felt Mustafa lacked drive and focus. As they both loved each other dearly, they hung on in there for many years, with distance growing between them. Sarah began to respect him less and less, and was fed up with him complaining when she was late or away on trips. He felt neglected and hurt that work with her was consistently coming first. Mustafa couldn't understand why Sarah put her work over starting a family. He was ready to have children, and had been for some time. Sarah wanted to focus on her professional growth, and as they'd been not getting on very well, and as she was loving her job and the travel and the excitement, she was becoming more and more unsure if she would ever really want children. She wished Mustafa would be more supportive of her career. When I sat down with Mustafa and Sarah, I quickly saw that there was not just expectation pressure coming from each other, but family expectations of how their marriage should be. Sarah had grown up with a mother who was miserable for putting her career on hold to have children, and reminded her children of that time and time again. Both Sarah and her mother did not want her to repeat the same mistake, so she had her mum encouraging her to keep on going for her career and to not have a family. Mustafa, on the other side, his family were focused on family life, like he was, and they were pressuring him to having a family and question why they didn't have kids after 8 years of being together. He had some awkward conversations with his family, where his family, his father and his brother asked him if there were sex problems and gave them a doctor's name if there were any issues. They would also say in family functions about it to Sarah, isn't she ready to have children? Isn't it time to stop working so much? Which was causing even more of a rift between them. They realised in my sessions that this outside pressure had to stop. They had to get aligned, they had to rebuild the connection, and they had to get into positive steps to falling back in love and rekindling their relationship. They did love each other, and both of them wanted to find a middle way forward if they could. I managed to help them devise a plan which met Sarah's ability to continue working, but also encouraged her to think about Mustafa's need in the relationship. Need for time, love, affection, attention, and a family. They successfully found agreement on when they would start trying for kids. In preparation for starting a family, Sarah would reduce some of her professional commitments, and Mustafa would take time to look into what he would like to do as a step up from his current position. A few months into our work together, Mustafa found a new love for learning, and he started doing more training courses, which widened his career opportunities. Sarah had reduced her work hours and also involved Mustafa in activities she used to do alone, like exercising and cooking, so that they could be together. They did this in preparation for when they have children, so that they could have more of a 50-50 parenting relationship. They could parent more equally rather than one person doing the parenting alone and the other one being solely focused on career. They were happy to give it another 1 to 2 year window before trying for a family, have fun, save some money, and be in the best state they could for when Sarah got pregnant. To their delight, the new levels of intimacy had increased. They enjoyed their sex life more and more because they were being open, they were communicating better, and they were sharing more fun times together. It really gave their sex life a great spark. So this case study brings me to the final point that I just want to share. Whatever you do, don't expect that with time, your sex life will get better, your relationship will get better, your communication will get better. All time does is pass. It doesn't do anything to help a relationship. Instead, focus on adding more energy, more thought, more passion, more love, more attention to each other's needs to create a fun, exciting change. You can start creating that for yourself today. There's no need to wait. Why don't you write down 3 actions that you can take to make you happier, your relationship happier, and your partner happier. So I hope you enjoyed today. As I mentioned earlier, along with the links of the show, there's going to be the 2 Facebook groups if you're interested to join, as well as a link to book a 30-minute free call with me. In this call, we can explore any answers to what you're going through. And if you would like to, and I feel that we're a good fit, I may extend an invitation for us to work together. And you can decide at the end, is that the right thing for you? Because it has to be right. So wishing you a great day ahead. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free marriage strategy session today, you can visit www.nicolabeer.com, where you can also get the free marriage fixing ebook, request a topic for the show, and make a donation if the show has been of benefit to you and you want to help keep it going. We wish you an amazing love-filled day ahead.